community. And we started off by saying we're disciples, and the disciple is somebody who wants to be like the rabbi. A goal of a disciple is to be just like the rabbi, and Jesus, our rabbi. And so we look to him, and what we talked about is the fact, if you want to be like Jesus, you don't look exactly at Jesus, but you look where Jesus focused. And where did he focus? Father. He focused his attention and his efforts, and everything about him was focused towards God. And so we, too, are called to do that. About 3 weeks ago, I talked about community. And last week in here, I said how I saw that happen on the fields of Little League and opening day. I said community, when we get it right, when we function in the way that we should, community is a place where our kids run around the baseball fields, and everywhere they turn, one of their fathers or mothers is standing behind them saying, "We love you, we support you, we encourage you." And opening day 2 weeks ago, I got to experience that. Kids who were calling out my name, who I had no idea who they were, but they knew that I was one of theirs. And they were one of mine. It was just awesome. Yesterday at the ball fields, it happened again. These two girls who are in junior school walked by and they're like, "Hey, Mr. Crocker." I'm like, "Hey, you girls." But I knew that they were two of mine. See, when we get it right, we begin to live in such a way that that our kids have all of these fathers and mothers watching them and loving them, not to say, "You're doing wrong," but to pick them up and support them and love them and encourage them and protect them. When we're doing it right, when community is lived right, we have all of these brothers and sisters who we run into in the community, and we know them and we care about them and we love them and we say, "You are part of my family." And we live life in a way that's different. We live life in a way that stands out and looks different and it looks strange from the rest of the community. But you know what? Who cares? Because we're living life more free. And we're living life with more love. That's what God's called us to do. Is to live in such a way that we experience His love. And when we experience that love, we just give it right back. The people of Priene knew this. Priene is a tiny town in Turkey. It used to be in Asia Minor, was what it was geographically called. And in Priene, there are two significant religious points. One is what's left of it is this gigantic white marble pillar. Just huge, beautiful. And it was part of this temple to the goddess Athena. And in this temple, they had all kinds of, it was enormous, and they had all kinds of services for the poor, for the elderly, for the sick, feeding programs, all kinds of stuff. She was the god du jour of Priene. Of a lot of places, really, Athena was. But she was the god of that little town. But down the main street, there was also this little house. And this little house, archaeologists have discovered a menorah carved in it. And a Torah closet. And a Moses seat is what it's called. And so they understood that it was a synagogue. It was a house synagogue. And then they've later uncovered some different elements that make them believe that it went from being a synagogue to a church. There in the shadow of this huge temple to Athena. And what happened in this town is, if you have a big temple like this, it runs your town. Everything about it drives everything about your town. For example, if you wanted to go to the local HEB, the Agora, if you wanted to go to HEB and you needed to get some food for the week, what you would do is you would walk up to the doors over here at Lincoln Heights, and you'd stop, and there would be a little altar there that was set up, and it was an altar to acknowledge Athena. And you would light some incense, and you would bow down and acknowledge the fact that she was God. And then you could go into HEB and buy your food for the week. If you were HEB or you're going in to sell your stuff in there, you had to do the same thing. You had to stop at this altar. You had to acknowledge the goddess Athena, and you had to bow down to her and get the stamp on it that says, yes, you can sell stuff because you have acknowledged that she is God. And you go in and you sell your stuff. Now, if you're a Jew and it was a synagogue, or you're a believer in Jesus when it was a church, you have a problem. Because the God that we believe in doesn't like that. I don't know if you remember this, but he said, thou shalt have no other God but me. Love the Lord your God, the Lord alone. God's pretty particular about this. There are other things out there, he says, but me. I'm the one true God. I'm not doing this to be mean. I'm doing this because I love you. So if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're a believer in God, you cannot go to HEB. Can't. So what do you do? How do you live? Everything about your life revolves around HEB. Everything you need, clothing, food, everything comes from that store, but you can't go in there. You turn to each other. You turn to your community. You're there for one another. You see, when people that were a part of that little house church in Priene saw each other on the street, it wasn't just somebody they went to church with. Their life depended on that person. You're not just someone I worship with on a weekly basis. You're my brother and sister so deep that if you're not in my life, my family doesn't survive. And so they separate themselves out and they live together and they love each other. But because God has said, hey, love me and love one another, love your neighbor as yourself. Your neighbor isn't just the people who come to church with you. Your neighbor is everyone. They loved everyone. They loved. They loved. That's a community. A community that is so strong and so bound together that what just pops out of them is love. That their lives depend on each other. Now look, HEB is a great place. The family that runs it is a wonderful family. We don't walk in there and have to make a decision whether or not we want to believe in God to walk into that store. We just don't operate in a world that exists like that anymore for us. But we live in a world in which there are many things that stand against us. We live in a world in which there are messages that come from left and right that come all at us that are telling us to bow down to this or to that or to this or to that. To give your life to this kind of way of life. To do this. We are bombarded with things from the world that are trying to tear us from God. And how do we counter against that? The same way the people of Priene did. By living together. So my address is... Well, just kidding. Nothing? Really? Living together and I give you my... That was funny. 9:30 was a much better laughing crowd than you are. I'm going to tell you right now. We're going to have to do a little bit more work on this. Even though I didn't tell that joke. Clearly I should have tried it at 9:30 because it didn't work. Some people are just now getting it. Oh, that was a joke. Oh, sorry. So for a community, you would have laughed anyway. Thank you. Patronizing. That's nice. Living as a community, living this way is to experience what God truly wants for us. This is how he set up the original church. This is how a place like Priene that was 95% worshiping Athena went in 120 years, 95% believers in Jesus Christ. That house church. Why? Because they loved each other. Because they stood together as a body. Because they stood together as a community when their lives depended upon it. And people noticed. They weren't walking around telling people, hey, do you know this Jesus guy? Hey, what you're doing is wrong. We're going to condemn you for doing those things. No. One, they probably couldn't have done that because they would have been killed in a lot of those places. But two, that's just not what they did. They just loved. They were just a community. They weren't bound by certain things that said, hey, this is the way you have to operate in order to receive this. You have to go through these motions. You have to set up a service every Sunday, and you got to do it a certain way, and you got to follow a liturgy and a lectionary, and you got to do these things. If you don't have an organ playing in your service, you do not love Jesus. Still, that was kind of funny too. Y'all are killing me. I didn't follow these things. They just lived. They loved. They were free. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul says this at verse 1. So Christ has really set us free. Now make sure you stay free. And don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. So what's happening in Galatia is Paul has been there and he set up the church and he's taught them and he's shared the gospel message with them and they got it and they were on the road and Paul's itinerant. So he's gone. He's doing other things. But he hears that someone's come in behind him and said, if you're not circumcised, then you have no place with Christ. You got to follow these laws if you want to be in. And Paul's writing this letter going, no. If you do this circumcision thing, then you might as well follow the rest of the Mosaic law. And good luck with that. But that's not why Christ came. Christ came to set you free from those things. Christ came to set you free so that you could experience life. Christ came so that you could, as he says, the most important thing, express your faith through love. When Jesus was asked for the grace commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, and just as important is love your neighbor as yourself. If you love God and love others, you got it. Love. Love. If you move into this life of love, if you move into this way of just living your life every day. Okay, how many of you wake up in the morning and you start thinking about what you're going to do during the day? I mean, I think most of us probably do. You know, when I wake up in the morning, one of the things that I say is, you know, God, wherever you're moving today, let me be there. And help me to not mess it up. Just let me be there and let me be who you call me to be at that moment right then. You know, sometimes I have things on my plate and things I have to do and I have agenda items and I get up here early to the church before the rest of the craziness that comes in and I sit quietly by myself and I go through some different quiet times that I do and I pray and I have like this routine that helps me to get focused. But it's not that routine that gives me strength. It's God. That routine is great and it helps me to quiet my mind because in about an hour after I get here, craziness comes into my office with five different people who have offices of their own, but they decide to make mine their office. And I'm like, why? Stop it. I'm trying to find them. I can't see them right now. They're all hiding all of a sudden. See, what it is that gives me the strength and the power to get up every morning, what it is that gives me the strength every night as I lay with grace and I pray, God, let those words come. And then I look in her eyes and I say, Grace, I love you. What gives me the strength to do that isn't the rules and regulations that I learned in seminary. It's not the things I learned in my Episcopal church and confirmation. It's not the things that I go through, the prayers and the practices and all those repetitious things. It's God who gives me that strength. It's the understanding that He dwells inside of me and gives me the Spirit. Those things help and they're great and they're wonderful, but I am not bound by them. If I don't do them and I beat myself up like, oh, you didn't do your quiet time today. Way to go, failure. Oh, it's been like 6 months since you actually looked at a prayer book and learned, you know, said a prayer for another person besides your family. That's great, Pastor. Just kidding, I pray for you all every day. But it's one of those things that, you know, you can beat yourself up by these things. And this is what Paul is saying. No, don't do that. Christ came so that you wouldn't beat yourself up by those. He died and conquered death so that you could have life. So step into that life. You are free to live in this world the way that God desires you to live. Now, this doesn't mean that you're free to go on being not a nice person. You know, those people who say, hey, man, I'm just being who I am. Just Manny being Manny. There you go. Baseball people just got that one. You know, no. No, it doesn't give you freedom to step on other people. It doesn't give you freedom to be the worst person in the world. It gives you freedom to express God's love to other people. And let me tell you, being free in that way is a whole lot more fun than anything else. I lived a pretty free life in college. If you've come here, you know my story for any length of time. I share it from time to time. I lived a pretty free life in college. There wasn't a drug that was off limits to me. There wasn't an amount of alcohol that I would not consume. There was not anything that I wouldn't do. I was miserable. Miserable. I had brief moments of, yeah, it's the greatest day ever! But as soon as it ended, look, I got to tell you, I've had some really dark days since I've been following Jesus and I decided to pick up the cross and follow Him. And I've had some dark moments. The last couple of years were really trying for me and dark. And I found myself, I shared this, in Savannah, sitting right next to the John Wesley statue in this little thing, thinking that I was going to die and hoping that I would. And so I reached out to a dear friend across an ocean, to Casey, who's in Hawaii at the time. And I said, I can't go into it, but I need you to pray right now because it's not going good. And so I've had those moments. But I got to tell you, when God brings you out of that and when you look back and you're like, hey, guess who is sitting next to you on the bench looking at the John Wesley statue saying, John Wesley, please speak to me. I'm a Methodist pastor. Why are you just sitting there standing looking at me? I see where God was all over the place. I see where God was by the community that I've attached myself to. Through Casey and Joel and Stacy and Daryl and through, of course, my beautiful wife. Through all these people that I've chosen. Say, this is my place. This is my home. We love Jesus together. We're going to live our lives together. That's a community. That's a place where you go, you know what freedom is? Freedom is coming back from those dark moments and saying, hey, I'm not there alone because I have people who are there with me who are going to pick me up and say, hey, that's not where you belong. And they're going to pray for me. And they're going to cry with me. And then when we get to the other side, we are going to high five, chest bump, and celebrate like nobody's business. Because we're free to live our lives together. We're free to express the love of God that He's just packed into us. And just vomit it all over each other. And you. And our community. That's what New Heights is called to. We're called to be a community that vomits love over people. T-shirt. I just got vomited on. Man, it was awesome. Love. We are called to be that church. Sorry. Sorry to disappoint you if you don't want it to be that church. We're called to be that church. We are called to be a community that cares about one another. We are called to be a community that is set free because Christ has set us free. And because of that freedom, we're going to use it. We are going to live our lives in such a way that people understand who God is. We're not just going to go around talking about Him and wearing a billboard that says, no Jesus, no peace. We're going to live our lives in such a way that people feel the love of God. Anybody married in here? Okay, yeah, I know. Yeah, there's some of you are like, well. Anybody have a really easy marriage through their entire marriage? Yeah. Glenn Green, you're so not telling the truth back there. He's like, me. It's because his wife said, yeah. No, marriage is hard. You know, I love my wife. She's the greatest woman around. Sorry, the rest of you are second fiddle. She is wonderful. But she wears me out from time to time. You know? I'm like, really? You can't keep your car on the driveway. It's not that. You've been driving for how long? And you drive over the same sprinkler head all the time. Stop it! She's like, move the sprinkler head. Marriage is tough. But it's amazing. It's wonderful. It is something that is just fabulous. And the relationship of a community is tough. Because look at you people. You all have issues. Some of you a whole lot more than others. And so it's tough. Because some of you are going to continue to drive on the sprinkler head. And we're going to say, would you please stop driving on the sprinkler head? And you're going to look back at us and go, move it. And so maybe because we love you, we will. Or maybe we're just going to drive for you for a while. But the fact of the matter is, if we want to be that community where people know that they are loved, that they know they are sons and daughters of the Most High God, if people around our little community of Alamo Heights, look, we want to change the world, yes, but God's put us right here, right now. And if we want to make a difference now, we've got to step into the where God's calling us. And that's a community that's free to love, that's free to be just silly and goofy. And you're one of those people? Yes, I am. We are a community that next day at the ballpark, there is nothing but people going, hey, 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 ho, ho, hey, hey. And we're going to play each other in games, and you're going to get destroyed when you come up against my team. And that's just going to be awesome when we just unleash the six-year-old bats of wonder that we have. But at the end of the game, I'm going to hug you and say, good job, loser. Most of that's true. I'll let you figure out which part. But that's the kind of community that we are called to be. So let's be it. Let's be it. Let's join together as a body and find strength. Let's join together as the body of Christ and find love just that is conquering the world in a little place called Alamo Heights. Let's be free. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, that you have given us each other. We thank you that you've given us this family, this community to worship together on Sunday mornings. Yes, but God, that is just the tip of the iceberg. You've given us a community to live our lives with. So that when we're down, when we're hurting, we have people who surround us and love us and care for us and lift us up. When we have moments of victory and joy, we have people who surround us to celebrate with us. That no matter what circumstance we are confronted with, we know that we have a family that is so close and tight that our confidence is soaring because we find it in you. We find our strength in you. We find our love in you. God, help us to understand what it means to be truly loved by you. And as we get that understanding, Lord, let us give it back. God, we thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name.